Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call of Suprea Life Sciences Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Irfan Raeen from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manager. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Suprea Life Sciences Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on Q3 and 9 months FY24 financial discussion call. Today on our call, we have Dr. Satish Wagh, sir, Chairman and Managing Director, Dr. Saloni Wagh, Full-Time Director, and Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, Chief Financial Officer. I hope everyone had the opportunity to go through our investor deck as we have uploaded on exchanges and on the company's website. Before we begin the call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our belief station as of today. These statements are not guaranteed of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Satish sir for his opening remark. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Good morning and warm welcome to all the participants. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the Q3 financial year 2024 results of Suprea Life Sciences Limited. To take us through the results and answer to your questions, along with me are Dr. Saloni Wagh, Full-Time Director, Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, Chief Financial Officer, and our Investor Relations Department, Orient Capital. I hope everyone got the opportunity to go through the financial results and investors' presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as the company website. I am pleased to announce our manufacturing site in Lote Parshuram has received a Good Manufacturing Practice, that is GMP, certification from the Regulatory Authority of Brazil, ANVISA, which covers maximum seven to eight big countries in Latin region. The success of the rigorous GMP inspection underscored Suprea's commitment to the highest quality standards. The clearance of this audit marked the successful registration of eight APIs with CADIPA and will further enable smoother and faster registration of the company for the other APIs and will help us to acquire more customers in the Brazilian pharmaceutical market. These eight APIs have 20 crore sales potential in the next 3 years. In this quarter, we plan to file three CEP and three U.S. Drug Master Files for anti-cough anesthetic, where we are already strong for a couple of years, and anti-allergic products. During the quarter, the company aggregate sales increased by 33% compared with the corresponding quarter of the last year on account of the wider marketing footprints. As you are aware, Suprea is the market leader for supplying some of the anesthetic products and taking advantage of the world market presence and good track record on the regulatory front. Suprea has selected some life-saving drugs in the same therapeutic category. Suprea started the molecules development activity a year back, and now this product is ready for commercials. I would like to give a highlight on the market number in brief. The global market is valued at $300 million and is expected to exhibit a CAGR of 4.4% over the forecast period of 2023 to 2030. The growth driver for the said product are the increasing number of surgeries, increasing the prevalence of the chronic disorders like cancers, and proven standards of the surgical care. This product market is spread across the globe, with North America, Latin America, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, and the rest of the Latin American region, Europe countries, Asia Pacific, and the Middle East and the African market. Currently, the Indian industry depends in on China. India, Supriya's unit is considered an import substitute to China under the Make in India. Supriya's API manufacturing facility is ready for manufacturing. Also considering the forward integration, company is in process of setting up the formulation plant with bottling capacity of about 5 million annually. With this capacity, the company aims to have a business in the next 3 years to be around 10 to 12% of the global market with substantial EBITDA between the range of 26 to 30%. As you are aware, we also have our CapEx plans made for the next 3 years, and around 60 crore has been invested in our CDMO facility. This facility also have our API and R&D. The site will be operational in the early quarter one of financial year 25 and will open to phase wise. Another 4 new products are in the pipeline for the financial year 25 launch. These are from the anti-diabetic, anti-anxiety, of course, and anesthetic categories. With this, I hand over to our CFO, Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, to share the quarter 3 financial year 24 highlights with you. Over to you, Krishna.
Thank you, sir. Hello, everyone, and good morning. I will now share the operational performance of the quarter, and following which we will open the floor for question and answers. Company reported a revenue from operations of INR 140 crores in Q3 FY24 as against INR 105 crores in Q3 FY23. EBITDA in Q3 FY24 stood at 41 crores as against INR 14 crores in Q3 FY23. And EBITDA margin stood at 29.6% for Q3 FY24 as against 13.4% in Q3 FY23. Profit before tax was at INR 40 crores for Q3 FY24 as against INR 13 crores in Q3 FY23 and reported a growth of around 217%. Profit after tax stood at INR 30 crores in Q3 FY24 as against INR 9.5 crores in Q3 FY23. PAT margins stood at 21.6% compared with 9.1% in Q3 FY23. Moving to 9 months FY24 performance, revenue from operations stood at INR 412 crores in 9 months FY24 as against INR 319 crores in 9 months FY23 and reported a growth of around 29% with the previous year. EBITDA in 9 months FY24 stood at INR 117 crores as against INR 74 crores in 9 months FY23 and EBITDA margin stood at 28% for 9 months FY24 as against 23% in 9 months FY23. Profit before tax was at INR 113 crores for 9 months FY24 as against INR 70 crores in 9 months FY23, registering a growth of around 60%. PAT stood at INR 82 crores in 9 months FY24 as against INR 52 crores in 9 months FY23. PAT margins stood at 59%. There is a small correction in one of the chairman's speech. The 8 APIs which he was talking about has a potential sale of 200 crores and not 20 crores as read out by him. That was a parallax error, I would like to put it. Okay. Now we can open the floor for question and answers, and thanks to all of you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirali Shah from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have two questions basically. My first question is, we see a big jump in EBITDA and PAT margins this quarter. So can you attribute this to a better pricing environment, or is it the seasonality impact? As generally, our H2 is better than H1. That's my first question. And if H2 is better, so can we expect a much better growth in the margins or the revenue front, on the revenue front for 4Q as well? I'll ask the second question then later.
Thanks, Nirali, for the question. I'm Dr. Saloni Wag, and I would like to answer to this question. In the last couple of quarters, we have constantly been telling that our portfolio and our geographic reach has been changing. That is one of the reasons why you will see more stable quarters as opposed to the H1, H2 concentration what we were seeing earlier. We are getting a lot of penetration into the more regulated market space. Even if you look at this quarter, our Europe sales have increased significantly from 26% to almost 42%. We have seen a very good traction in anesthetic products. The anesthetic segment has actually gone up significantly from 21% to 49%. So the main reason why you're seeing the growth is because of better traction of the existing set of products like anesthetic vitamins in more regulated market space like Europe, North America. And we have always maintained in the last couple of quarters that a sustainable EBITDA margin for us is between 28 to 30%. And that is what we would also like to guide for the future quarters.
Understood. So basically my next question was that if you could give a ballpark number in terms of revenue and margins from a 3-year perspective, but as you mentioned that 28 to 30% is a sustainable annualized margin guidance that you are mentioning, but just one simple question, is that on a conservative side? Should we expect something more?
So there is always, because of the product portfolio that we have and because we operate mainly in the regulated market space, there is always a chance, and we have in the past also achieved higher numbers, which we have benchmarked ourselves against. So there is always a possibility for getting a higher number, but 28 to 30% in our opinion would be a sustainable, number that we can indicate. In terms of revenue growth, we have always maintained that year on year, you can expect upwards of 20% growth from our side, and that is still the number that we would like to maintain for the next 3 years.
Understood. So we have a 140 crore run rate currently. Calculating that, will we be making something beyond 570 crores on a full year FY24 basis?
Krishna here. Yeah. Please don't put any words into the numbers. I think that could be a possibility. See, we have guided on our EBITDA and we have said that we will grow our top line by somewhere around 20 to 23%, it could be around that number, but we cannot be specific on any numbers like this.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ashish from InvestQ Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Margins seem to be recovering, and as you said that around 20-odd% growth on the top line is probably what we are looking at. So actually we came down from around 550-odd crores a couple of years back to these numbers. So just wanted to understand, there are so many things going on in terms of new geographies, new facilities that we have, plus existing portfolio of ours. There's been up and down on the performance of a lot of molecules that we do. So it would be very helpful if you can guide us through the path for the next 2 years in terms of where all you see the business getting traction or even the negatives, and try to build a scenario how you are taking this business forward. Because earlier I think we had decently big targets of around 1,000 crore plus of top line. This was 2 years back after listing. So it will help us investors in gauging how you are planning for the business and how much is doable actually on the ground.
Okay. So definitely the guidance what we have given in the past, you know, that 1,000 crores in the next 3 years still stands. Growth for us will come in three buckets. The first one is, you know, of course, the top three products which the company sells. Those molecules are also growing year on year because of getting repurposed in different therapies. So there is definitely a growth in the top three molecules. Then there is a basket of about 8-12 molecules which we have said in the past that we are trying to scale up in the regulated market space. For which we have now started getting the approval. So the recent ANVISA approval where the 8 products are registered, that has a potential of about 200 crores in the next 3 years. Similarly, multiple CEP, US DMF, Japan DMFs are getting registered. So those 8 to 10 products will definitely give a large scale up, and their contribution to the portfolio in terms of top line as well as bottom line will increase. So this is the second basket. So basically the API portfolio what we currently have will grow inherently in the next 3 years. Other than this, we have large CMO, CDMO opportunities in our hand. Those will also scale up in the next 3 years. So that will be another growth area for us. What we have announced today, the CMO, CDMO opportunity for an anesthetic product, which is an import substitute and which has a very large global market of over $300 million US dollars. Products like this, which we are now newly adding into the basket. So this year, for next year, we have 4 products planned for the launch. So new products also will add. So basically the growth in the existing product basket, the new CDMO opportunities that we have, plus the new products what we are launching, all put together will help us to achieve that 1,000 crore mark, in fact, higher than 1,000 crore mark in the next 3 years or so.
Okay. So the current product basket that you mentioned, especially the 3 top products that we have, the growth rates can be assumed at what rates? I mean, what would be a fair assumption to take over there?
So it is completely product dependent. Certain products in the portfolio are growing at about 8 to 10%, while certain products are growing at about 5 to 7%. So it is very, very product specific.
Okay, so that's around 10%. And the rest of the growth is expected from CDMO and CMO projects, plus the APIs that we are going to. So basically you are expecting maybe a couple of 100 crores plus of contribution over the next 2-3 years from these lines that you are opening up. Is that
right? Yes, yes, in fact, the contribution from the CMO, CDMO opportunities can be higher. So this announcement that we have made today itself, the anesthetic product, if you look at the global market and if we even assume conservatively a 10% market share, that itself is a very large number. So you can imagine that the CMO, CDMO opportunities, what we currently have, could be even higher. I mean, the number what we have said is very conservative.
Okay, and is this pretty competitive, or we think that this 30% or 28-30% margin that we have, we will be able to get in the newer APIs plus the CMO, CDMO? I mean,
So whenever we talk about a sustainable 28-30% margin, that is considered while taking on any new projects, may it be a CMO, may it be a new product development, may it be the existing portfolio, altogether blended 28-30% is a number that we are extremely confident of maintaining, because as a, you know, core to Supriya, backward integration is a very, very important aspect, you know, for any product that we launch. We aim to have a completely backward integrated product, which helps us with the best cost of the product in the market, and plus the capacities what we have set up with the new module E coming in. We are adding another 300-350 kL of capacity, so we'll be at 1,000 kL capacity, so sort of doubling the capacity. So the large production scale plus the backward integrated business model ensures that whatever new products also we are taking, we have the best cost available for that product in the market. So all this put together, we are very confident that 28-30% we'll be able to maintain.
Okay, lastly, is there anything to worry, because you are largely an export dependent company, so all these issues on the Red Sea and stuff, is that affecting us anywhere, and should we expect any surprises on the numbers maybe in the near term, or is it all okay right now?
Nothing specific, as such, I would say that is a threat or any negative surprise that you can expect in the next couple of quarters. Nothing like that. I mean, there is always a regulatory challenge which is there because we operate in a highly regulated environment. But to even counter that, we are in a constant CGMP mode. If you look at our last audit, which is the Anvisa Brazil audit, which is extremely complicated and one of the most difficult audits to pass, we have cleared with zero observations. So that speaks, volumes of the company's compliance status. So as such, I wouldn't say that any foreseeable threats or negative surprises.
Okay. So from all the discussion that we had till now, it seems that we are on a recovery path and probably there is some firmness in the way you guys are talking and there is some level of confidence that I can see. So is it fair to assume that we are done with the issues that we had faced? Is the market more, more conducive to kind of expecting sustainability and we won't have any jerks right now, right? I mean, the way we saw earlier in 2022.
Yes, absolutely. I think we have said it in the past also, the company's aim in the last 4-5 quarters has been to stabilize the product portfolio, to reduce dependence on any one particular product or one particular geography, to make the product portfolio more robust. And that is what we have been constantly doing in terms of R&D for our new products, for this new CMO project that we are taking, for the new therapies that we are including in the basket. A lot of effort has gone in the last 4-5 quarters and those results are being seen. We have had a consistent performance in the last 3 quarters and that will continue. I think we have worked really hard to sort of diverse any risk what was there in the portfolio. So I think that is now showing and that trend will continue going forward.
Okay, and the CAPEX is basically kind of over. I mean, no major investments will be there, I guess. I mean, whatever we have.
I think we had just now announced, no?
We just announced this morning that we anticipate a further 60 crore CAPEX. So we have a site in Ambarnath, which is a 5,000 square meter plot, which we have had for some time now. And we already have the environment clearance for this particular plot. Because it is classified under zero discharge, we were thinking of multiple CMO-CDMO opportunities to do here. And because we have a lot of strength in the anesthetic segment, we have decided to launch a new anesthetic product. The API will be manufactured at the Lote Parshuram site. Currently for the API globally, there is a dependence on China. So it would be a really boost for that Make in India kind of a movement and it would be an import substitute. And the same product, there will be a forward integration. So we are setting up a bottling line in Ambarnath for about 5 million bottles a year. So we will be utilizing the Ambarnath site very soon. The site is expected to be operational by quarter one of FY25. So we will need additional capex for this activity, which we have assumed at about 60 odd crores in the next 2 years. So that is where the capex is.
Anything to share on the inventory? Because we had decently big inventory in terms of the sales that we have. So what is the status now in terms of inventory days? Is it possible to bring that down?
Like I had told earlier, I think, even in the last quarter, I was saying that there could be chances of us reducing by around another 10 crores. So I think that has been already achieved. I think somewhere around the inventory days are also in a very, very controlled number as of now. So I don't see any challenges on inventory building up from now on, unless and until there is going to be one more round of COVID or something. I don't think we will be, our inventory ranges should be somewhere between 80 to 85 to around 100 crores. I think that is the number which we are looking at this stage.
I want to add, Krishna, just a minute. I want to add to the participants. See, people have not come in a serious way that Latin America. There is a massive change in the regulatory system in Latin America for last 2 years. Please understand, last 40 years, China was supplying all over the globe, but This time, the ANVISA, which is the highest regulatory authority for Latin America for Brazil, has come with their own regulatory system. They have communicated to the formulators that whoever is supplying currently to Brazil and other countries should have a CGMP, GMP certification done by the ANVISA or the regulatory authorities like USFDA or EU, like that. Yeah. If the supplier doesn't give any documents, he will be closed by 2024 March. That's his ultimatum last. And whoever comes with the audit and the GMP certification before the ANVISA, he will continue as the second source and a permanent source. It's a massive change now.
Okay. So, like the last call also, I think you highlighted this point that you have been traveling extensively.
Sometimes people know, sometimes it's very difficult to understand. That's why I have to highlight.
Thank you so much for that.
Newcomer is very big way they can come. So, India has a very good opportunity now.
So, sir, in your talks, I mean, you sense that Supriya actually has been making efforts over there. So, what kind of opportunity you see for yourself, and is the shift from China, I mean, that is pretty likely, because as you're saying that they won't be as compliant in terms of meeting those standards. So,
sorry to interrupt, Ashik. Can you please rejoin the queue for your follow-up question?
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of A.N. Lodha from Samati Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Am I audible, ma'am?
Yes, you are
audible. Ma'am, I got three questions, madam. One is about the expansion in Lote Parshuram and Ambarnath. When can we expect this expansion is to be completed?
So we are having two expansions currently. The Lote side, we are setting up a new module, which we call it a module E. This is a dedicated production block, which will have around 350 KL of capacity. So this will go on stream early quarter one of FY25. And then in Ambarnath, we already had a site, like I mentioned before. And this site now we have refurbished for our bottling activity. Plus, we are also setting up an API R&D over there. This will also be operational around the same time, which is quarter one of FY25.
Because I little bit confused, because in your presentation, this Lote Parshuram site has been quoted at the quarter three of FY24.
Correct.
It has been mentioned quarter 3 of FY24, therefore I got the confusion. So quarter 3 has already been over and company could have notified for the commercial production, the start of the production, but anyway, you have clarified.
Sir, you are right. It is quarter 24 March. It will go into production, but validation batches will start because the pharma industry totally is under regulated industry. You just cannot make a batch and go for sale. Three batches validated, then substantially go to go for bigger batches.
Okay, sir. My second question is related to that. Our technical tie-up or arrangement with Kalinga Technology Institute regarding oral cancer detection kit, and there are two products, escape-free gel. Can you put some, what is the development over there, sir?
See, currently both the products we are evaluating for the clinical trials, what are required for the commercialization. The clinical trials, etc., already are on. Some products might take some time, but some other product will be commercialized soon by 25 December end or first quarter of 26. So this is the situation, because you have to follow the guidelines of the Indian FDA, and we have to do certain things, and then only we will submit the file to them.
Okay, sir. I agree. But we are on track. We have decided to go for this.
Because that is $48 billion project.
That's why I was wondering their company is doing very nice in the current operation.
One of the product which is taken, the competitor is selling at 32,000 rupees for one single man. I'm trying to give it at very cheaper price a common man can afford. And the another product is of the similar way. It is also roughly around about 28,000-30,000 rupees. I want to give it at a cheaper price to the Indian community. Of course, export is my major target, but Indian community has to be also safeguarded. So we are working
we are very engaged, because of this much of market share of a product. This company can succeed, then the company can go a long way in pharma industry.
Sir, we are already there 39 years and we will continue forever.
My last question is, sir, the capex. How much capex company is expected to incur this year and as well as in a financial year FY25?
Sir, this year we will close somewhere around 105 to 110 crores. This will be majorly Moduli and some bit of Ambernath. And next year we are planning somewhere around the similar number, out of which there will be a major part of it will be for refurbishment of module ABC, which are all pretty old modules. And of course, the major part for next year would be Ambernath, sir. So that is how the split will also happen.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Wish you very best of it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the new win that you talked about earlier. My first question is about the revenue target of 1,000 crore plus that you were discussing earlier. Is that expected to be reached in fiscal 26 or fiscal 27?
Sorry, Rajesh, couldn't get you. There is some background noise coming from your side. Can you please repeat the question, please?
Yeah, my question was regarding the revenue target of 1,000 crore plus that you mentioned. When is it likely to be achieved? Is it fiscal 26 or fiscal 27?
Fiscal 27.
Fiscal 27, okay. And then secondly, in this CDMO and CMO business that you were talking about, is it fair to assume that your EBITDA margin will be higher than this 28-30% range that you have discussed earlier?
So for the CMO opportunities, yes, while in some projects the margin range would be slightly higher, but the guidance what we are giving is a blended because we already have an API portfolio plus some of the new product launches. And whenever we launch a new product, they will first move into the semi-regulated market and then eventually they'll mature to the regulated market. By then, you know, new products will again be infused. So that cycle will be constant. So keeping that in mind, 28 to 30% is something which will be there on the overall portfolio. While some products, some projects individually might have a higher margin, but on the blended portfolio, it would be about 28 to 30%.
Understood. Thank you. And my last question is, when we think about this 1,000 crore revenue, how much of that business will be coming from API versus the CDMO, CMO business?
So the CMO, CDMO opportunities also what we currently have are mainly in the API advanced intermediate space. Some of the new opportunities what we have announced today in the morning, they would be slightly over and above that 1,000 crore projection. So if you ask me, the 1,000 crore, almost 70 to 80% of it would be API and advanced intermediates.
Okay, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Siddharth from Darsh Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to know that revenues have been relatively flat in the Latin and North American regions from the past year. So is there any particular reason for this as to why they've been flat? Because major growth has come from Europe. I get that. But what are your thoughts on this?
So one of the reasons you feel it is flat is because, like we said, you know, we were in the process of getting the products registered. It is now that the products are registered and the audit is cleared, because whenever you put it for CADIFY registration, the audit is triggered. So we had the audit in the month of January and we have cleared that with zero observations. So now in the next couple of quarters, you will see, you know, that region really picking up. With North America, a lot of the US DMFs currently are still under filing, which we expect to happen in the next couple of quarters. So if you look at probably a year down the line, you will see significant contribution coming in from North America and Latin American markets.
Okay, and one follow-up question. In the previous quarter, we faced challenges in China. Now that we've diversified, where has the additional revenue in the Asia region come from? Because margins have also improved, and like you mentioned, you've only been servicing the minimum quantities required from China, and that was your higher margin business, right? So if you can throw some light as to where is the additional revenue in the Asia region come from, and how have you been able to improve margins from that front?
So in Asia, our business remains stable. I mean, for the new products, of course, yes, you will see a good contribution coming in as and when we launch the products, because they will be first launched in the semi-regulated markets, which is the Asian market. If you look at the major shift, what we have seen is that we are getting better traction in regulated markets like Europe. As I explained earlier also, the Europe sales have shot up from 26% to 42%. And that's one of the reasons, and that's where we are getting the larger revenue from. Because for the existing portfolio, better traction in anesthetic segments and vitamin segments we have seen from the European region.
Okay. And one more question, just the last one. What are the kinds of asset turns that you expect from this CapEx?
Asset turns, we would look at somewhere around 2.5x and above, sir. I think that is something which we are targeting in future.
Okay, thank you so much. That will be all from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Tushar Bohra from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations to management for a good set of numbers. So first, just want to understand, what is the status on the existing CMO contracts, one with the DSM Firmenich, and there was one on the protein side. Where are we in terms of, in terms of the status on execution? I have a couple of more questions. First on this, please.
So in terms of the CMO, CDMO opportunities, specifically the DSM Firmenich contract that you mentioned, so the contract, we have said it in the past also, at its full capacity has about 60-70 crores of potential, and we have already done the CEP filing, the USDMF filing. We have already received our first commercial order from DSM Firmenich. And we already have a good forecast available for next financial year as well. So that project is moving really well. In fact, some part of the CapEx, what Krishna mentioned for the refurbishment of the older blocks, we will also refurbish the vitamin block to accommodate the larger quantities, what we are anticipating from them in the next couple of years. So that one, I would say, is already at a commercial stage where we have received the first commercial orders. The whey protein one, we recently completed the installation of the equipment at our site. This happened last month, and we have already taken the trial batches, and the samples have been supplied to all the large distributors of whey protein across India. We, in fact, are evaluating opportunity for exports also of this particular product in Southeast Asian market. We anticipate that in the next quarter, we will at least be having 20-30 metric tons of trial quantities from all the major distributors in India. And then next financial year, definitely, we are anticipating good volumes. Next financial year, it will commercialize. Let's say quarter two of FY25 is where we will see some significant volumes coming in.
Ma'am, what is the addressable tonnage equivalent for us for this product, whey protein?
So for next financial year, the potential could be about 100,000 tons.
100,000 tons?
100 tons. 100,000 kgs, 100 metric tons.
Okay. No, what is the size of market, ma'am, for this product? Just if you have any ballpark.
So in the next 2-3 years, we anticipate that we will be able to go to about 800-900 metric tons.
Great. Ma'am, also on the existing APIs, some of the new products like dextromethorphan, allopurinol, bisoprolol, etc., if you can just highlight the path to regulated markets where we are vis-à-vis different markets for the four or five critical opportunities, you think, outside of the current top three?
So for a product like bisoprolol, fumarate, in terms of Europe, is one of the largest markets. So CEP is already applied for, and it is expected in quarter one of FY25. So very soon, we will get the CEP. That will open up the complete Europe market for us. Then other products like tramadol hydrochloride, we have applied for the CEP in the last quarter. So that we will expect in another 9-12 months' time. Again, a very large market in Europe for this particular product. USDMF, we will file in another one month's time. Then products like dextromethorphan, we already have the USDMF available. CEP, we will be filing in the quarter one of FY25. Allopurinol, we are filing the CEP and the USDMF before this financial year ends. So February end is actually when we are planning to file both for the CEP and the USDMF. So these are some of the larger opportunities. One more product I would like to mention is cyprizine dihydrochloride, for which we have already applied for USDMF. We just received the USDMF number 2 days back, and CEP will be filed end of this month. So this product, again, has a very large market in Europe and US. So these are some of the top four or five molecules and their regulatory filing status.
Ma'am, do you have a sense on a stable basis, once they are fully scaled up, maybe 2-3 years down the line, what kind of potential exists for this basket of 4-5 products from regulated markets?
So for these four or five products, I mean, individually, the numbers are very large because these products have a global market which is very, very large. What I can say is that in the next 3 years, today, the top three products, their contribution to the revenue is around 45%-50%, and the rest of the product contribution is very low. But in the next 3 years, the situation would be that the contribution of the top three products would be around somewhere 20%-25%, and the balance contribution would come from the other set of products, including some of the new products.
Okay. Thank you so much, ma'am. I'll join back in soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Tushar.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish from InvesQ Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity again. So as you mentioned, the seasonality in the business and the ups and downs on the quarterly profitability, all these things are kind of flattening because I think we are moving towards a mix where things could be kind of quarter-on-quarter better. So Q4 historically has been a very high-margin business for us. I think if I look at last Q4, 2023 and 2022, these have been the highest-margin quarters for us. So would you say that these kind of margins of 40-odd% EBITDA and gross margins have been pretty high, that would remain, or you think that Q4 also has that product mix change where we will have lower margins?
If you have been following us for the last more than 4 or 5 quarters, we have been indicating that the stabilized sustainable margin for the company is 28%-30%, which we have sort of maintained in the last 3 quarters as well overall on an annualized basis. The 40% margin which we were able to achieve the year before that was because of certain dependency on certain geography and certain niche business, which we have already indicated. Although the volumes have stabilized, there is a erosion in the pricing, which we don't expect to stabilize. So for us, a sustainable margin would be 28%-30%. You can expect a higher revenue in quarter four, but in terms of margin, even if the margins are slightly better on an annualized basis, 28%-30% is the only margin indication that we would like to give.
Okay, so you're talking about the China portion that we had that was contributing to the higher margins earlier?
Yes, correct. So like we have mentioned in the past also, the volume we have gained back, but there is a price erosion. So we have secured ourselves in terms of volume for the next couple of years. We already have a contract in place and that will go. But because of the price erosion, the margins have been impacted. Like what we are trying to do now is trying to, make the product portfolio more robust and have a more stable margin profile across all quarters, and have the products spread across more geographies, how the new products can also scale up in the more regulated markets. So we are more focusing on that. We don't anticipate, or we are not even expecting that the Chinese business would go back to where it was. I think whatever is the current situation is the long-term situation that it will be.
Okay. So the buyer in China that was there, which was giving us much higher margin, that the buyers are different now, is it? It's not the same.
So the buyer is still the same. I mean, of course, the agent has changed. The end customers still remain the same because our product is registered in China for many, many years. And we have an NMPA certified site. But because of the situation, there is slight demand drop of the product, plus one or two local competitors coming in that particular product, the price erosion is there on that one.
Got it. One last question on the existing basket. What is the overall runway except for the new addition that we are doing? The product basket that was existing till FY23, what's the potential for those products to grow on their own till when you think? Because I think you mentioned around 10% is a fair assumption on the growth that we can take. But I think we have fair market shares in those geographies for those products. So any idea that you can give? Just trying to understand where are we on that basket and the additions on the can be from new products. So
because we have recently invested a lot in R&D at the Lote site, plus we are also investing in R&D at the Ambernath site. In terms of new product addition, every year I think 4 to 5 products is something that we will keep adding into the product basket. Each product, because we are now also entering into newer therapies. So of course we are expanding on the anesthetic line, like our chairman said in his speech, because that's our area of expertise. We are also adding a lot of new therapies like anti-diabetic, anti-anxiety. So it would be very difficult because different therapies, completely different product, completely different global market sizes. It would be difficult to indicate, one such lump sum figure that you're looking for. But definitely all the products that we are looking at are, in terms of volume, 1,000 metric tons plus globally, and which have a very large global volume as well as value. So if we consider even 10% of that on a conservative basis, because whenever we start a product, we go in with a complete backward integrated business model and very large capacity. So 10% is actually very conservative. We can definitely achieve much higher than that. But the exact number and all, I think we would be in a better position to give in the coming few quarters when we have formally launched these products.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Tushar Bohra from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Ma'am, this anesthetic product which has been mentioned, the new opportunity, while you highlighted it a couple of times in the call already, but just to understand, we can't see a filing on the exchange for this.
What exactly is the opportunity? Is it a CDMO opportunity or new product development? What is it exactly?
Actually, this is a new product development. What it started was on the API front, because we have a very strong position in anesthetic APIs. We considered manufacturing the API first. Today, the entire globe is dependent on China for sourcing of this particular API. So we thought of it as an import substitution. A lot of it is getting imported also in India with only dependence on China. So we took up the development of the API first, and then we saw that there is a very large opportunity for the bottling of the said API also. We reached out to a lot of large multinationals where they, you know, were very interested on doing CMO, CDMO tie-up for the finished product, which is the bottled product. And that's why we decided to explore both the opportunities. So currently we have developed the API. It is put in stability. Validation batches have been done already. And this API will be manufactured at the Lote site. And then the bottling, we will be doing it in the Ambernath site, which we have already refurbished. We have set up a bottling line of around 5 million bottles a year. On the finished formulation front, this product is extremely large. It is the most widely used anesthetic globally. The current market value of the product is around $300 million. And it is growing very, very strongly. It is expected to grow at a 4.4% CAGR year on year. So you can imagine how large the market size is going to be. And because we will have full control of the API with us, we will have an extremely good control at the finished formulation level as well. This will further build on our CMO, CDMO skill. It will give us better utilization of the Ambernath site, and it is a very niche technology where you need a lot of manufacturing expertise, which we have. You need a large capacity, which we will have post the Module E. So all put together, this could be potentially a very large product and a game changer for us.
Thanks. Second, ma'am, in terms of guidance overall, so just to quote from one of the earlier quarters when we or earlier communications, when we had got this product from DSM Firmenich, the CDMO product, I think you had mentioned that it will take a couple of years for commercialization, and full scale-up will happen only by FY27, if I recall correctly. But now what we are able to gather from this call is that we are already have the first commercial order available with us. So clearly we are tracking ahead in terms of actual execution to guidance for this project. Is that understanding correct? And second, in light of this and the overall conservative stance of management to maintain a 28% to 30%, despite a lot of your products moving into regulated markets in the next 2 years, is it fair to say that the EBITDA margin guidance what we are giving, the internal target for company should be much higher? Or are you going to target only 28 to 30% margin in your new projects? Or is it that you're targeting higher, but the communication is 28 to 30, and hopefully we expect a positive surprise as things, as execution matches up to commentary?
So to answer to your first question on the DSM Firmenich, the numbers what we have indicated, the 60-70 odd crores, it would still be, the full potential would only be reached in 27. Although we have started getting the commercial order, DSM Firmenich operates in a highly regulated market for this product. Their focus is on pharma customers, wherein the CEP, US DMF and Japan DMF is extremely critical, which we have already applied for. Some of the trial orders what they are taking are for their food customers. So the volume actually will increase only post we get the CEP, the US DMF and the Japan DMF. So that is why in the third year, in that 26-27 where we will see the volume sort of jumping, and then that full potential will be still achieved in that year only, the 60-70 crores what we have spoken about. In terms of the margin guidance, like I said earlier also, there are multiple opportunities and products where the margin profile is much higher than 30%. But when we indicate a 28-30% is on a blended basket of multiple products multiple CMO opportunities, multiple new product infusions into the basket. Of course, there is a potential that we can achieve much higher margins, and of course, the management is always trying to get the maximum possible margins. But this is just a very conservative guidance in terms of the overall blended basket, I would say.
And on the top three products, are we seeing any increasing competition or any pricing pressures across the basket of products in any of the major markets?
No, we are not seeing. For us, the top three products are stable. In fact, two of the products are even growing products. Because of the niche technology and because of having a complicated process, and you need to have a complete backward integration to have a leadership position for the top three molecules. Because of all these things, we still don't see much competition. Of course, the antihistamine product in China, because of some local manufacturers, that market is impacted. But other than that, all the other markets and all the other geographies still are very stable. We don't see any price erosion happening.
Ma'am, one last question quickly. This formulations, the bottling that we intend to do for this new project, does this open us up for more formulation projects, CMO, and even generate formulations business? Or are we going to be more measured about how we build this part of the business? What is your thought process on branching out from your core API strength?
So definitely once we set up this facility and we move forward, there is always an opportunity which is there for taking on more such CMO, CDMO opportunities in the finished formulation area because we are already setting up the plant and we operate in a highly regulated environment. So this particular site will also eventually have all the regulatory approvals such as the US FDA, European authorities, and Visa Brazil. So that is what we are aiming at. So yes, we are definitely open for further opportunities in the finished formulation space with the Ambernath site.
But are we going to actively target in the existing product basket going to formulation?
So not on our own. We don't want to compete for any of our own products as such. But there are some discussions which we are getting from some customers in the US and Europe where they are interested in buying certain finished formulations that they were getting manufactured in Europe. But due to the price pressures and all the non-favorable environment in Europe for production, they want to move it to our site. So some such discussions are going on, but they are at a very, very premature stage.
Got it. Thank you so much for the follow-up opportunity. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will take the last question for day from Pritesh Cheda from Lucky Investment Manager, Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, ma'am. Just a clarification. So currently the 600 KL that we have is basically at Parshuram, Lote. And on this 400 crore block, what is the maximum revenue possible on this block or what is the capacity utilization that you're running today? Either way you want to answer.
As of now, since it's a multi-product block, the capacities would be somewhere around 70 to 75%. That would be the best utilization ever possible. And the plans are on to have the existing 1,000 crores from the existing blocks itself. So that is why when we are saying that we are going to expand further into Module E, Module E can even take our revenues around beyond 1,000 plus crores also. So that would be the additional advantage which we will have with Module E.
Okay. And the Ambernath unit which is supposed to come, which is a greenfield, is meant for CDMO, CMO, right?
Correct.
Correct.
And this unit which was supposed to come at the end of quarter 4, FY24, what is the status there?
So it will now come in quarter 1, FY25. So just a couple of months, I mean 1 or 2 months delay in the timeline.
And what will be the utilization ramp up there? Do we have the necessary CDMO, CMO orders? And how will this capacity be utilized?
So So currently, we don't have concrete orders, but there are a lot of advanced level discussions which are happening for the bottling of the anesthetic product that we mentioned before. I think it will take us at least 2 years to, you know, have a good utilization, because we'll have to trigger a lot of regulatory inspections. So for the first year, the capacity utilization might not be very high. But I think towards the second and the third year, the capacity utilization would be far, far greater.
And Pritesh, adding to what Dr. Saloni has said, see, we also had my chairman has already said in his speech that this plant would be what do you call commissioned phase-wise. So as and when we will have our utilization, we will expand it further. That is how it would be. It will be modular, and it will not be a linear sort of a stuff.
And for the Module E at the Parshuram plant, when is this supposed to come, and what is the CapEx that you're putting here?
It would be around Q1 FY 2025, and this module would be somewhere around 100-120 crores. That would be the CapEx, and these are mostly funded out of our IPO proceeds.
Oh. The 1,000 crore revenue, which you mentioned on the current block, ex of Module E,
Mm-hmm.
Right? 1,000 crore revenue.
Yeah.
Ex of Module E.
Yes.
What-
Yes. Might be some what do you call some clean room facility of Module E might need to be used here.
That is just the one correction I would like to make. While we will not be using the intermediate capacity of Module E, we are going, I mean, running short on the clean room, the final processing areas. So, some part of Module E, the clean room areas, will be needed for achieving this 1,000 crore mark.
So this 1,000 crore revenue, the question was, how many years do you think you should reach the 1,000 crore based on whatever products you have in pipeline, based on the existing 50-60% of your portfolio's key products, growth from there, and the new products? So this 1,000 crore revenue potential, what should be the number of years to achieve it?
So we have always maintained that by FY 2027, we should be in a position to achieve this number.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. In interest of time, we will end the call. I will now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Saloni Vaz for closing comments.
I would like to thank everyone for joining us to discuss the quarterly development, our development of new products, and the impact of revenues derived from successful DMF filings and corresponding product launches should prove supplementary. Besides, the launch of our CDMO business should enhance revenues further by laying the ground for an attractively sustainable future that enhances value for all our stakeholders. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Have a good day.
On behalf of Suprea Lifesciences Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.